coming down to the 16th pole. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Wednesday morning. We kick off another week here at Saratoga, live from right in front of Clare Court as the sun came out, just as we wrapped up the handicapping show. So, knock wood, hopefully a beautiful day up here at Saratoga. Warm, a little bit humid still. That's supposed to kind of blow out, I think, as we get into the weekend. But as I say, still a little touch of humidity, but it looks like a very nice day up here at Saratoga. Good race card ahead. We'll touch on that in just a few moments. Coming up on today's show, our friend Michael Blown in town from Old Friends. We'll talk Old Friends and more with Michael in a few. Teresa Gennaro from Brooklyn Backstretch. You can check out her website for lots of great information, including the weekly calendar, but we'll have her touch on some of the events coming up on track and off in this coming week when we talk to her. And then Maggie Wolfendale, the New York Racing Association paddock analyst, will join us towards the end of the show, talk a little bit about her job and how the meet's been going, et cetera, et cetera. All of that coming up a little bit later on. But as usual on a Wednesday, Saratoga Special joins us, a jump race on the Wednesday card. We'll hit on that. It's either Joe or Sean Clancy. This week, Joe pulled the short straw or the long straw?
The long straw. This is where we want to be. Or short. I don't know how you do that, but whichever. This is where we want to be. We're good.
That's what we like to hear.
Nice day. Nice. Like you said, it looked a little dodgy forecast-wise. Sun came out. Hopefully everything holds off and we're good to go.
Yeah. And I, you know, I mentioned it after the Whitney. The weather has certainly been funky with a day canceled because of heat. The half day that the biblical proportion monsoon came down and affected the track. But, man, the racing's been great. And let me get a couple of opinions from you on this past weekend. Let's pull up the stretch run to the Whitney. Number six, McKenzie, gets it done. Yoshida made a nice run, but really didn't have a shot here late. Vina Russo runs third. Preservation is fourth at Bob Baffert on Sunday. And we talked about this performance. Crafty ride by Mike Smith, kind of pulling out and getting outside Preservationist on the backstretch. But McKenzie just looked fabulous Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody asked me, is he the best older horse in training? I'm like, yeah, I think so. After that, you know, that's an easy decision to make. And, like, yeah, Yoshida runs on a little bit to be second, but I didn't think it was, you know, coming off the turn, McKenzie looks like he had it under control. And I think it's fun to see those horses. You see horses get on the Derby and the Triple Crown Trail, and then, you know, to take a step back and then to have him come back and run as well as he is now, I think that's great. It's good for the game, and to see a horse come on for a second year and at the top of the game.
And I handicapped the race and said he had only one win in four starts this year. And I said, you know what? He's better than his record this year, and I think he'll show it Saturday. And
he did. Yeah, he did for sure.
Let's go back and take a look at the test because, again, another nice performance. Kefefi, another horse I liked on Saturday. The question mark was, would there be a duel between Kefefi and Serengeti Empress, and Serengeti Empress gets out there and leads, and Kefefi kind of sat behind and didn't engage in the duel, but when they came into the stretch, it was a ding-dong battle. Kefefi is going to get a chart margin of a half, and it's surprising what I thought, $8.50 mutual. Serengeti Empress, though, really doesn't lose anything in defeat. She was kind of ding-donging it, as I say, all the way down the stretch. Bellafina ran third. But, boy, Kefefi, going back to that race at Pimlico, two back, she kind of validated that on Saturday in the test, which annually produces a really nice three-year-old filly sprinter. And if you look down the list over the years, it's always a race that horses come out of and kind of have a crown on their head, and I think she adds to that list.
Yeah, and I think for whatever reason, too, the test ends up a good race like this frequently, which is really fun. And whatever that is, whether it's the time of year or just horses coming at it from different directions, and And yeah, Serengeti Empress, she felt bad because she ran a winning race but got beat by a horse who ran just a little bit better, you know. And we do a thing on our in our paper, top 10 performances of the meet. So we have some arguments over horses who gets number one. And Covfefe jumped to the top over Imperial Hint off of this. And it was a hard decision, but I think she got bonus points for having to slug it out like that, you know. And Serengeti Empress, she makes the list of two, you know, I think. And that's the future. That's the power of that race. I think it's really cool to see a good race like that. That's why we come here. And you said at the beginning, the racing, the weather's been all over the place. The racing's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And to say our argument over performance of the meet, well, there's several that should be number one. Like, who are you kidding? You know, but that's the fun. That's why we come here.
Yeah, last weekend, Imperial Hint and Chancelot. Friday, Concrete Rose, I thought looked fabulous. I said earlier, I kicked myself because A Thread of Blue getting away at the price he did. It was one of those what have you done for me lately kind of things, because in that three-year-old turf division earlier this year, he was right there. So I kicked myself that I let that one get away at a price. But Kieran with a couple of nice stakes winners over the weekend on the human side as well. So, yeah, the weather has been a little dicey a couple of times, but, boy, the racing has been fabulous. Yeah.
No, well, it's summer. You're going to put up with some weather, right?
Yeah, it's Saratoga. There's no question about it. Last night off the track. Last night and the night before, news made, and you guys, obviously, with the Saratoga special, printing special sales editions, lots of coverage of the sales, and there were some fireworks last night. I think we had three over seven figures. The night before, there was one. I know our friends at West Point picked up one of the seven-figure horses last night, but Monday night, I was over both nights. Monday night, that has become like the social scene. It's just jammed on Monday night. Last night, and typically Tuesday will fade off a little bit, but last night also there was a little bit of rain early, so the crowd was a little lighter, not much, but boy, it's always a lot of fun. And as I say, there were some fireworks actually in the sales ring.
Yeah, it's become this night spot. Not that I go, but the crowd there, and you bump into people who go, I never knew, people first time, I didn't know it was like this. And they're like, yeah, it is. And then there's this amazing horse sale, and you see the horses come through there, and, you know, Fasig Tipton, that facility is so cool that people like to go there. I mean, it's such a neat place. And then you get to see a little history. You know, 3 years from now, you might say, hey, I saw so-and-so sell there. You know, so that's the idea. And you mentioned West Point. They, you know, they're in on the 1.5 last night and the $1 million horse the night before. And I think for them, and it's interesting to see some of the different farms and people team up on horses. I mean, it gives West Point a chance to put their partners in on some good horses. You know, we saw it with Always Dreaming, and you see horses like that. To get involved, they're not going to buy that horse on their own, but to get involved in a horse that has the potential at that level, it's an interesting way to do it, and I think it's good for the game because it spreads some of that stuff out.
And I say in here a lot when I look at the two-year-old races, I like the Into Mischiefs. The Into Mischiefs did well in the sale, so I assume next summer we'll see some more precocious Into Mischief two-year-olds showing up. And talk about your schedule, because again, over the sales week, you were printing during the sales, which I think people appreciate, because that is, as far as an event up here at Saratoga, almost as important as the racing, the two nights of the select sale.
Yeah, the only thing you don't have is an actual winner. You know, you got the horse who pays the most, but the horse who brought the most, but you're still not sure where, you won't know for a year whether that paid off or not. But yeah, it's fun to dive in and do some stories. Tom Law did a story on Arthur Hancock coming back with a, you know, one horse consignment, hadn't been to Saratoga for a few years, Stone Farm, he has such a history at Saratoga that it was kind of a little bit of a history thing plus a little bit of a news thing, and then the horse ended up selling for $1.5 million. So those are fun stories to dive into a little bit. They're a little different than the racing, but they're fun stories.
Yeah, if you're going to come with one, why not?
Yeah, man, I know. That's million. the one to come with. And we basically, we published Monday and Tuesday. We did not publish today, and then we'll come back for 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week.
Excellent. And I always tout also our man John Sapazian, one of the handicappers worth following throughout the meet. And I checked him a few days ago. I might have said to you, I was walking out of the paddock, and I said to some, or it may have been Tom, I said to somebody, I had looked, and I feel I'm doing okay. None of the handicappers are knocking out of the park, except Sapazian's doing all right, but percentage-wise as to what you like, which I think is indicative of the racing. My second and third choices, a lot of those are winning, which just indicates I think they're nice competitive races. So I think it's fun overall. But I was saying, boy, I looked, and this was, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago. I looked in, and I was seven behind Sherpazian, and I thought, well, that's pretty
good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I realized I was a third through the meet. So by the end of the meet, I'll be behind by 21.
No, come on.
I thought, I'm doing okay. And then I did the math, and I thought, maybe.
Wait. you're going to make a late charge. You never know.
All right, let's take a look at today's jump race, because that's one of the reasons we like to bring you in to give us some opinions on the jumpers. You in with Andy today, or is Sean in with Andy?
Yes, I'm on with Andy later today, yes.
So you can also get some opinions there as well, but we'll get your thoughts on this opener, the Mrs. Ogden Phipps. And I pulled up the race from Nashville, the Margaret Henley. That is Nashville, right? PW?
Yes, yep.
Yeah. Wigwam Baby will be the winner. Finishing second will be Down Royal. Fifth will be Market Alley, but you'll pick out Wigwam Baby easily here in the stretch. And Down Royal 1-2. They're both in here this afternoon. I tilted towards Wigwam Baby. Jonathan Shepherd with the win earlier in the meet. I thought that was nice. And I thought this win, just two starts back, the fourth on the flat last time to Optimus Prime, just shows some good form in a race where I think there's some inconsistency here. So for me, 1, 3, 6, and 4. What did you see in the Mrs. Ogden Phipps?
Yeah, it's tricky. This is obviously fillies and mares running over jumps, and the division ends up very competitive, if that's the way you want to put it, or they're inconsistent. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Wigwam Baby hadn't won a race in a while, and then she jumps up and wins this race. I think this race was really her style. It's a very stamina-testing 2.25 miles, little to see the umbrellas, little softer turf. And she just saw it out. She was in front, you know, with more than a half a mile to go, and it's an uphill climb, and she kind of just stays on. Down Royal is the gray mare, and I think she might be a little better at Saratoga, might be a little quicker, and shorter distance, a little faster. I actually went completely off the chart and went with Dawn Wall, the 7, for Elizabeth Voss, just trying to find a little bit of a price and a horse who would move forward on a racetrack, I think she will. I think she's pretty quick. Jack Doyle rides, can kind of put together a decent trip behind these. Wigwam Baby, she's will probably be in front. They obviously ran her at Parks to try to sharpen her up. At least she'll be handy or close. And, you know, maybe Dawn Wall gets a little bit of a trip and tries to run her down late. I just met her. I fed her a mint. She's very happy. She was very happy to have a mint. So, again, I'm trying to find a little value and maybe a mare that's coming into form a little bit. You know, she would have had to have needed the last race, and maybe that moves her up a little bit. The one that's interesting to see, a lot of these, she's out of Guelph, was a mare that Tom Voss trained, and she won. I'm not sure she won at Saratoga. I'm really going to have to look. But she was champion filly, mare, hurdler. And then there's 3 or 4 others in here. T.P. Tot, John and Wigwam Babies, damn, she won over jumps. The Bullet Star is out of, I got to go glasses. See, there it is. Bullet Star is out of Ptarmigan. She won over jumps. Down Royal is out of Miss Crown. She won over jumps. So it's kind of fun to see a little bit of a breeding program going with some of these horses. I thought Down Royal was my second choice. And then Wigwam Baby. And then Get Ready, Set, Goes, who has tons of class. I mean, her races from 2016 would win this. Her form just hasn't been very good lately. So, you know, if she goes back to 2016, yes, she can win this. But that's a while ago now.
And do you get to go in the winner's circle and be part of the picture?
Yeah, because I think
it is River which is the nom de plume of Sean Clancy. I mentioned that earlier on the handicapper support. I was in the same boat, though, as far as her. There's back class, but hasn't been seen since last year, so I was kind of taking a wait and see, but certainly be fun to see River D and that those silks get in if that one does wind up winning. Joe, as always, appreciate the visit. Certainly highly recommended to pick up a Saratoga special on track or around town, or check it out online. This is horseracing.com, because the digital version is available as well. Appreciate the visit.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
And again, you can check out Joe a little bit later with Andy pregame show and prior to race number one, the Mrs. Ogden Phipps. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Michael Blown, old friends, stay tuned.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Michael Blown on the way, hopefully, knock wood. But in the meantime, we did a little switcheroo, as is often the case here, live TV. Teresa Gennaro moved up for the weekly calendar, as usual. Bring in Teresa to talk a little bit about what's going on in the next week, both on track and off, because Saratoga means not just racing, but the social scene as well.
Exactly, and the fundraising scene, the philanthropy opportunity to do some good for a variety of causes while we're up here.
And should mention yesterday, and you had a nice article in the Blood Horse yesterday. I was over at the Albany Law Institute annual. Ben Liebman said the 19th annual, where they discuss some issues horse racing. Man, it was dire as far as the titles of the New York OTV. Will they survive? So I had to show up and see that. Am I going to get a paycheck? New York Harness Racing, will it survive? Talking about just general, the first panel was very good with Jennifer Dernberger and Andy Belfiore, talking about just the racing industry in general. But I only stayed for the morning sessions. There was still an afternoon to go. You did good coverage, as I say, in Blood Horse as well. But you also moderated the OTV panel. Good job there. But it was interesting. The morning panels were interesting. And I think everything's going to survive. But there were question marks on the panels.
The morning panels, I think, did a good job of pointing out ways that the industry can move forward in terms of both OTBs and animal welfare. I didn't pay as much attention to the harness racing. I love harness racing. I was writing my story and filing it. The afternoon, though, which was more about sports gambling. I mean, if you thought the morning was dire, you should have stuck around to hear the sports gaming people, because they sort of think, you know, they think the only way to save the sport is fixed odds wagering, which will take a really long time to implement, if at all, given that, you know, the sport is pretty much founded at this point on paramutuals. But we'll see.
Yeah, as I say, it was interesting. And you had good coverage of it. I know Matt Haggerty was there for the Racing Forum. I haven't checked out his article yet, but certainly if you want to catch up with what happened yesterday on those panels. And again, interesting topics vis-a-vis the racing industry, and always we get those kind of panels up here at Saratoga because this is the crossroads of the racing industry, I like to think.
Well, and there will be another meeting later this week that I'll also be attending and covering about Category 1, Category 2 disqualifications, which is something that's been much in the news. Well, Pat Cummings talked about it a little bit yesterday. This is more from a regulatory standpoint. So the racing commissioners will be there with also folks from other parts of the world where Category 1 is more the norm than it is here.
All right. I should also mention, speaking of social scene, we talked about it with Joe a little bit, the sales the last couple of nights were kind of crazy too. Monday night, it was wall to wall. Last night, a little bit less, but still. And it continues to be, it has become. I mean, I remember, and I spoke about this the last few days, last week, talking about the sales. I remember when where that bar is now, it was somebody's house, and it was the Spite and Dival.
The Spite and Dival,
For the days of the sale, you went into their living room, and it was a piano bar.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was, I mean, it was, growing up here, we went to the sales, but we went in, like, shorts and sneakers.
Yeah, it's a different.
It is a very different thing now. And obviously, there are many, many, many good things about it. But as someone who has worked the sale, like, it's hard to move around. Like, if you're claustrophobic, it is not a good scene for you.
Well, you can go there's the bar side, which is very crowded, and then you can go on the other side, kind of the barn side of the paddock area, and that's a little more open. So you can find your level of fun, and it is fun. And we'll mention you get another shot at it coming up. We'll talk about that as part of the weekly highlights today. We should mention, if you're coming to the track today, one of the giveaway items here on the Saratoga calendar this afternoon, while supplies last, the cap.
Yes, the Saratoga camouflage cap. So I think we're used to kind of the red cap, the white cap. You'll see here it combines red, white, and black for a little Saratoga camouflage.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm out on this one. But that's a personal opinion.
It's not my favorite design, but if you collect these things, this is a different one than you've had in other years, and they will almost certainly be up on eBay by 11:30 if you would like to get yours, but you're unable to make it to the
races. That's right. And so that's today. While supplies last, free with paid admission, pick up your camo cap here at the racetrack. Also, I'll note, today is the beginning of the Empire Six, and it's worth noting because the normal pick six out, the 20-cent jackpot that many tracks around the country have instituted over the past few years is now in at Saratoga. The Empire Six kicks off today with pick six action. So a 20-cent play in the pick six. Just be aware of that. Also, today is First Responders Day. We had Military Day last week. Mm-hmm. First Responders Day, similar first responder, free admission.
Right, right. Free admission. There'll be an exhibit in the Coca-Cola Pavilion, which is on the backyard side of the grandstand, sort of toward the top of the stretch. Lots of different exhibits, and first responders will be honored throughout the day. Firefighters, EMTs, police officers. Very nice way to acknowledge the work they do for us, putting their own lives at risk.
New York Fire Department Emerald Society Pipes and Drums will perform on the apron following the sixth race. I have to admit, I kind of like bagpipe music.
They're great. Yeah. And I mean, they're good. This is not like, you know, your uncle's bagpipe band.
No, sixth race. So yep. Check them out. That's all today. Tomorrow, notable, the Fabulous Phillies Day, which supports a great cause.
Yes. For a number of years now, this event has supported breast cancer research for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Dr. Larry Norton is a huge figure in breast cancer research. He's at Memorial Sloan Kettering. He's the head researcher with BCRF. He was instrumental in discovering the drug that saved my life. Had I been diagnosed with the type of breast cancer I had 25 years ago, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. It was a very pernicious form, and he was instrumental in helping to discover it. It's also just a really fun luncheon. You know, people like to get dressed up. They have pink champagne. They have a couple of speakers. And I believe this year they're also tying it into the Aurora Games, which is a big women's sporting event in Albany, and Nancy Kerrigan will be here among other women athletes. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I was reading some articles about the Aurora Games just within the past couple of weeks, which the writer of the article, maybe in the Times Union, was saying, you know, buy some tickets and get Albany a little juice for what could be a kind of an ongoing event. So keep that in mind as well, but it'll be interesting to see Nancy Kerrigan.
And I also just want to say, like, I think it's really great that NYRA is focusing on the accomplishments of women, like not just illness, but strong, great, successful, accomplished women. So,
yeah, all part of Fabulous Phillies Day. And that's tomorrow. But I want to go back to today because I forgot, and we'll have Michael Blown on in a couple of minutes. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. I see Michael out there right now. But they have a party on the porch today benefiting old friends. So I wanted to touch on that as well.
Always a lovely, casual, easy event. There's no cost to attend. They generally have some silent auction items. Beer and wine, books to buy, and just a really nice kind of mellow way to support the work of old friends. Casual.
And again, that's today. I went backwards here, but that's tonight, 5:30, so keep that in mind. Kind of the south end of Broadway at the Washington Inn. Should be a lot of fun. Again, we'll touch on that as well with Michael. Something we don't hit on, it's one of those ongoing events, but I wanted to bring it up this week, the third race with Larry Colmus, which is it benefits one of the better charities around the racetrack, certainly, but you can go kind of sit in and watch a race with Larry Colmus from the announcer's booth for a fee, but again, the fee going to a good cause.
Yeah, it's and I believe this year it's being sponsored by one of the champagne companies, so I think you also get a little champagne toast on the roof with Larry. I'm sure he's not imbibing during the race day. But yeah, I mean, you support BEST, which is Backstretch Employee Service Team, which provides a variety of services for the backstretch. And one of the best views at the track and one that you don't get to see very often from up there on the roof. Want to tag team on that a little bit, and just also tomorrow night at Taverna Novo, which is over on the west side of town, owned by locals, Patty Novo and her husband, Jeff. And they are also doing a fundraiser. She's an amazing cook. The food there is great. She is a huge supporter of Backstretch causes. So Taverna Novo for Backstretch Employee Service Team tomorrow night as well.
Excellent.
Yep.
Do want to remind people, again, the Low Rollers now with the new schedule, Sundays and Thursdays. So Thursday means another additional Low Roller. And it again, $40 gets you in, $10 prize pool, $30 on a card. You make five $2 win place and show bets during the afternoon. And I've been playing every week. I've been whiffing, unfortunately. Last week I got off to a great start and then went right into the tank. But I'm going to continue to play. But they've been getting couple of hundred people at least. So a nice prize pool of a couple of thousand plus.
That's great.
So jump in. Sundays and Thursdays, the low roller contest. And again, you sign up over in that carousel area, the easy goer bar area. Mm-hmm. That's where the sign up is. Also, Thursdays mean weekly, the At the Post Live radio show with Andy Serling down at the Parting Glass. I'm a regular there too. I get my seat, get my hot turkey sandwich, sit back and watch. And this week, more interesting guests on the radio show.
We've got Tom Amos, Liz Crowe, and help me out,
Larry Colmus.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, Larry. How could I forget? Liz Crowe, a name that might not be very familiar to you. She's a bloodstock agent, and she is the person who picked out Monomoy Girl. And she has a lot of other big names on her resume as well. She works with Brad Weisford at his bloodstock company. Having a tremendous amount of success, and she's really good at what she does.
Yeah, we had her on the show last year.
Yeah.
And, interesting, and certainly she'll be interesting to listen to tonight as well from the perspective of that walking around and picking out horses, and you pick many horses like Monomoy Girl, you're doing something
doing
right.
Well.
Also want to mention, I mentioned the low roller. There is also the high roller, I suppose, Friday and Saturday. They're two different contests, two different price points. The Friday contest, the Saratoga Challenge, is a $1,000 buy-in. The Four-Star Dave Challenge on Saturday is a $2,000 buy-in. You're going to be playing against some of the better contest players in the country. I played a few years ago, sat like eighth all day long, and then and they paid out to the top 10. And then the last race, some people took a swing, and bounced down just far enough so that I was out of it. But I still had made pretty good money just playing the contest, so it was still fun. I would highly tout it if this is your type of thing. As I say, you'll be playing the Matisse brothers. I know are going to be in, and some of the other, I'm sure Jonathan Kinchin will probably be taking a shot. It wouldn't surprise me. But the entry for the Friday contest closes today at 5 o'clock. Keep that in mind. Tomorrow, entry closes for the Saturday contest. Go to NYRA, the website, NYRA.com, for more information on those two events. And as I say, we also wanted to tout, again, if you missed the, or even if you were at the sales last night and the night before, you get another shot Sunday and Monday. A little bit of a switch this year for the dates for the New York Bred
sale. Yeah, yeah. Usually the New York Bred sale of yearlings is Sunday night and Monday night, but with no racing on Mondays this year, Fasig Tipton has switched it up. So the Monday night sale will start at 6:30 or the Sunday night sale will start at 6:30 or 7, but Monday they go at noon. So it'll be a little bit of a longer session, but you'll definitely get out a little earlier. You know, obviously the New York Bred program has just been growing by leaps and bounds. You're going to see some really nice yearlings here by New York stallions and stallions from other places in the country. Last year, a couple of New York Bred sold for $1 million, not at this sale, but elsewhere. And it's not quite the same scene. So you can go over there and relax and walk around and see your buddies. It's fun. It's really nice. I'll be working that one.
It's become more popular. It's not as crowded as that Monday night at the big sale, but it has become more popular, and there's a little scene, a little buzz there as well. So, again, Sunday night and Monday afternoon, the New York Bred sale. A couple of blocks up from the track is the Fasig Tipton Pavilion. All right, Teresa, as always, appreciate the visit.
Yep, just also want to say you can find details about all of these events and links to buy tickets and things at brooklynbackstretch.com.
Very good. And also links to your various articles as well, which are numerous during the Saratoga meet and always highly recommended. Teresa, appreciate the visit. We'll talk again next week.
Yep.
All right, Michael Blown is in the house, so we'll take a break, talk a little old friends with Michael right after this. Stay tuned.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouth-watering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, always happy to talk to our friend Michael Blown from Old Friends. Michael, good morning.
Morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little Old Friends. Certainly one of the organizations that we always like to tout. Some familiar names if people head down to Kentucky, and we'll talk a little bit about specifics in just a moment. But first, just give us the overview, the mission of Old Friends.
Well, we're a retirement home for thoroughbred horses. We have a place here in Saratoga up at Cabin Creek, where our larger farm is down in Kentucky, and we specialize really in bringing horses home from Japan once their breeding careers are over, stallions in particular, and then and some of the old geldings. And we just made a deal for a nice horse that ran in the Whitney last Saturday named Imperative. He'll be coming to the farm, and also Slim Shady. Fans will remember Slim Shady, and so we're really glad to have them on board. So they're some of our new acquisitions.
Pulled up a picture from the website. Speaking of new acquisitions, certainly a name folks will remember, a nice turf sprinter, Hoagie. And you're feeding Hoagie in this picture here as he looks out the back window. So talk a little bit about some of those new additions to the Old Friends farm.
Hoagie's great. You know, these horses, you know, they have great stories while they're racing and breeding, but they have fabulous stories, you know, once they retire. And in fact, if you'll remember, Hoagie, the great turf sprinter, used to run a lot against Green Mask, another great turf sprinter, and now they're next-door neighbors.
Also pulled up a picture of Silver Charm, and you and I were talking on Saturday, literally right before the Whitney. We were standing in the clubhouse when Bob Baffert walked by with an NBC camera trailing him, and you said, Bob, a regular visitor on Derby Week, comes over and visits Silver Charm.
Bob's the greatest. In fact, Bob hadn't seen Silver Charm for 11 years when we first got him back in 2014, and they Silver Charm recognized him. It was really, really cool. And Bob got teary-eyed. And then Gary Stevens came over. And, you know, these horses do so much for everybody while they're racing and breeding, but they also do an awful lot once they're retired.
Yeah, it's certainly a spot that a lot of horse racing fans like to visit and go and see some of their old favorites. And certainly on the New York scene, I wanted to pull up one more picture because we all remember A Firm Success, a great New York runner. But what I liked about this picture, it seems like when some of these guys retire, they find a buddy, and A Firm and Futuro seem like they become close friends.
Very, very close friends. A Firm Success is unbelievable. I remember coming up here when I was just handicapping and trying to make a living, and realized that when we finally got A Firm Success, and he started 42 times and had 38 triple-digit buyers. It's unbelievable. And he's still doing great. Richard Schossberg comes down and sees him all the time. It's marvelous to see the connections between, you know, the trainers and owners that really care about their animals from the time they're racing till the time their lives are over, and really pay a lot of attention and come visit them and realize how much fun it is.
Yeah, Rick had Firm Success, as I say, a horse that a lot of folks up here will remember, and remember finally, as you alluded to, very, very successful. Talk a little bit about some of the other horses at Old Friends, not only up here, up the road, Zippy Chippy up the road, the lovable loser, Zippy Chippy.
Zippy Chippy's up the road, commentator, won the Whitney twice. In fact, Suffolk Downs, as you know, just closed, and I made contact with Suffolk Downs, and commentator won the Massachusetts Handicap. And they had a jockey statue there for him. And Chip Tuttle and Jessica Paquette and everybody got together, and they delivered the statue to commentators paddock earlier this week. So
very good.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the Kentucky facility, and if people are headed down that way. I mean, some of our viewers certainly will make visits to Keeneland during their fall and spring meets, and Churchill Downs Derby season or whatnot, and talk a little bit about your farm and tours and whatnot.
Sure. Well, we really exist because visitors come from all over the world to see these great horses. We get about 30,000 visitors a year, and we give tours every day during the season at 10, 1, and 3, and they just have to call the farm and make a reservation, and it's $15 for adults, and I tell people if they don't like the tour, I'll give them $30 on the way out, but so far nobody's had the courage to ask me for the money. And people get to feed most of the horses carrots. War Emblem is double fenced because he likes things just the way he likes them, and if he has two ways to communicate, biting and kicking. So we keep them away a little bit from War Emblem. But I have to say, he's been there almost 4 years now, and he's really starting to settle down. He lets me pet him a little, scratch his back, and do a few things to him now. In fact, I asked Bob, I said, is it a greater accomplishment to win the Derby, the Preakness, and the Haskell with a horse, or to be able to put a halter on him and pet him? He goes, oh, no, putting a halter on that guy is a greater accomplishment. So I consider that one of my major accomplishments, is just getting to be friends with him.
And talk about the reaction you get from race fans when they come and see some of their old favorites. I talk to people all the time who have taken the visit, and certainly everybody has, when they go, they always talk about, oh, and I saw so, they have that favorite that they really just enjoyed going and seeing again.
It's really, really great, and you never know who it's going to be. I remember when some people come, it's because they made a huge amount of money on a horse. And we have Sarava there, of course, beat War Emblem in the Belmont. And remains the longest shot in the history of the Belmont, paid $142.50. And we had a guy from Georgetown, my friend Mike, who was the president of the Walking, Jogging, Running, Drinking, and Intellectual Club of Georgetown. You only had to qualify, I guess, in one of those characteristics. And he used to come by and feed Sarava carrots. And one day I said, what's the deal, Mike? And he goes, well, I bet $200 on this horse to win. And so I've always felt like I owed him. And unfortunately, Mike passed away. And after he passed away, they spread his ashes at the farm. And his wife bought a bench with his name on it and a picture on it so they could sit right in front of Sarava's paddock the entire time. Yeah.
That's nice. Give us the impetus for your starting Old Friends.
Well, I started out, working with Carlos Figueroa part-time at Suffolk. And he had $3,500 claimers, basically. And he would get these old classy horses, give them a few more races, and then off they'd disappear. And they always said they were going to a riding academy in Maine. And for a while, I believed that. But I knew at the end of the day, that's not really what was happening. And I thought, well, maybe someday we could have a place where there'd be a little more room for a little more horses and a few more horses. And, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation does a great job, and New Vocations and this new organization, the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, does a great job of accrediting retirement homes now. So you can be assured that if you send a horse to one of the TAA accredited farms, they're going to be really, really well taken care of. And I just felt like I have a claiming horse that I claimed up at Finger Lakes in 1999, and he's still with me. And he's fun. And if people realized how much fun they were afterwards, and that they were great to hang out with, I think there'd be many more places for these horses to go. And we're trying to expand up here in New York. I looked at a farm up on Locust Grove Road in Greenfield, and Joanne and Mark Pepper, who've done such a great job over at Cabin Creek, just show how you can increase tourism and it can be part of the economic structure of the community, and it's not just a place for old horses to sit around and do nothing. The horses love the company, they want to get the carrots, they love the attention, And we're hoping to expand up here in New York. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
That's great, and it's a great spot to tie in today. We talked about it when we talked with Teresa about the weekly calendar, but I'll let you tout it again. The party on the porch today down at the Washington End, south end of Broadway, benefiting old friends.
Yeah, it's great. Well, first of all, it's free. Free beer. Mama Mia's giving us free food. You know, it's a lot of fun. A lot of the trainers and owners and jockeys come, and there's a lot of talk exchange. It's a beautiful location on their big broad porch. It's right next to the park. It starts around 6:30 and runs till 8:30. And as Barbara Livingston is going to come and sign her book, and Brian Bouye will be there to sign his great book on the Travers. And if you haven't seen that book, it's really special. As is Barbara's, of course. You know, people think because Barbara's books are all named Old Friends that she named them after our farm, but the opposite is true. I called her up years ago and asked her if I could name the farm Old Friends because I loved her book Old Friends so much, and so now it's the opposite, but Barbara's good with that.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen any of Barbara's books, she does a great job covering a lot of the old horses, and her books are fabulous. And as you say, we had Brian in beginning of the season with the Travers book that he did with Mike Veach. That's a gorgeous book as well, so just to go down and get autographed copies of those is worthwhile. The Washington Inn this afternoon, again, it's right on the south end of Broadway, benefiting old friends. Highly recommended to stop by. Michael, before I let you go, your earlier career, movie critic for the Boston Globe, so I would like your favorite horse racing movie. Mine, I always go with Boots Malone, which I think was a lot of fun with William Holden. Seabiscuit on production value, I go with,
right,
as opposed to the movie that came out about the same time, Secretariat, which I think came out of a kid's piggy bank.
Terrible.
Production value.
It was an insult to Secretariat.
Yeah, they didn't spend a lot of money on that one. But as they say, I like Boots Malone. If folks haven't seen it, I think it's kind of a realistic, like, you know, there's a saccharine story behind it, but I think it's kind of a realistic look when they're at the racetrack. But what's your favorite racing movie?
Well, I love Boots Malone a lot. I really like Casey Shadow with Walter Matthau. But my new favorite one is a movie nobody has seen called Lean on Pete.
Oh, I remember when
Lean on Pete is a great, great movie. It didn't get the right kind of distribution. It didn't stay in theaters very long. But it's a marvelous, marvelous, very unsentimental movie. They shot it at Portland Meadows.
It's just in the past couple of years it came out.
Yeah,
right?
It came out last year.
Yeah,
and you can get it on DVD.
Okay.
And it's an exceptional movie about a kid who's basically homeless and this horse. And it's not one of those really sentimental things where he loves the horse and everything. And they just recognize the fact that they're independent, lost souls. You know, that nobody wants either of them for any reason, and they kind of get together. But it's not an old Yeller deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, Lean on Pete.
I'm
going to have to look that up because I do remember when it came out. Got some nice reviews, so
yeah,
I'll look that one up. Michael, as always, appreciate the visit. Enjoy the rest of your stay in Saratoga. And again, highly touted this afternoon, party on the porch, or visit the Old Friends website. You can donate that way, too.
That would be great, Seth. Thank you very much, and thanks for betting money on us.
That's right, Michael and Old Friends, our charity bet in the Times Union. I have Old Friends happy to do it. So far, I've been making some money. I haven't knocked it out of the park yet, but you're going to definitely get a little bit of money for sure, and we have, I think, four more shots at it, so we'll add to that total.
That's great, Seth. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Michael Blown from Old Friends. When we come back, Maggie Wolfendale, NYRA paddock analyst. We'll talk about what she does on a daily basis and much, much more. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions? better choices. In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, always happy to be joined by Maggie Wolfeld, the Naira Paddock Analyst. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you on. Always like to talk a little bit about your job and maybe get a couple ideas for this afternoon, but I have to start out with one of the other topics. As I walk around the track and people recognize me, they talk about the Fox show to me and the what goes on in the paddock and the personalities and whatnot. And a lot of people also pointing to, and we have a picture here from our friend Skip Dickstein, Grace Morley.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, man, that
star.
Maggie's little girl, cute as a button. And certainly the picture that Skip took, that's hilarious. Cute, and she looks like a ball of fire.
It scared me how much she looked like me, like doing one of my hits. It was quite surreal looking at that picture. Skip's always great too. He does capture some great pictures of Grace. And too, on the local news on Channel 6, Brittany did one of the anchors there, Brittany McHatton, did a feature on Grace and Snickers. So if anybody caught it, I retweeted it this morning. But it was very cute to see see them live.
I saw her buzzing around the sales last night with kind of a princess dress on.
Yes, her tutu dress.
Nice. Very, it's two. How much fun is she?
Well, she is. She's so much fun. And just talking a mile a minute now, has her own little personality. So it's a lot of fun at this age.
Yeah, super cute. So congratulations to you and Tom. And for folks who don't know, I'm sure most of our viewers know the wife of trainer Tom Morley, who's been kind of active at the claiming box, couple in today off claims as well. Talk a little bit about just outside of the television side that we know about, working with Tom in the mornings and whatnot, and not just up here in the summer. Your circuit now, you're down at Fairgrounds in the wintertime as well.
Yeah, I got really fit this winter at the Fairgrounds helping Tom out. It's always a bit of a help situation down there. You know, help's not as readily available as it is here in New York. So I was in the stalls. I was walking hots. I was giving baths. I was riding out, riding my pony, doing everything. So, obviously it's great. I can have a little bit of downtime from my work with Naira during the winter and allows me to work more hands-on with the horses, which is obviously a big part of my life still and something I really enjoy doing. And still get on horses occasionally for Tom as well. Here in New York.
I like New Orleans.
I love New Orleans. It's a special city for both Tom and I.
Yeah, I made a road trip, it's probably 10 years ago now. I have a sister who lives in Arkansas, so I drove to Hot Springs for Oaklawn and then took a couple of days at Fairgrounds, and then I was down in Florida for a week or so by Tampa, so I did a little of that as well. But I really enjoyed Fairgrounds and obviously New Orleans. At one point at night, I went downtown, and I was kind of walking around, and all of a sudden I came on what was essentially like Caroline Street 10 times over.
Oh, Bourbon.
And then I looked at the sign and said, oh, okay, Bourbon Street,
yeah,
now I get it.
Yeah, there's a lot more to New Orleans than Bourbon Street, it must be said. I mean, the food, it totally spoils you, because then anywhere you go in the country, it just doesn't taste as good as down in New Orleans. So, I mean, the food is just spectacular down there as well. And both Tom and I like to eat.
Yeah, well, anybody down in New Orleans, yeah. Talk a little bit about your schedule here. I mean, I assume you're still doing some morning stuff with Tom in the mornings, and then take us through a day prep work for the TV and the afternoon TV schedule.
Well, this year, since we are doing so many hours up here as far as the Fox shows, we've kind of divided the talent into two different groups, if you will, the early show and the later show. So I'm mainly on the later show, and then sometimes during the rest of the car doing the two-year-old races as well. So it's the prep work. It's, if we have to go tape interviews and whatnot. So it's a long day, but it's quite an enjoyable day as well. I mean, and I love getting on the pony, doing the interviews with the jockeys after the races, and providing some on-track analysis as well for, Saturdays or Sundays.
Talk about the prep work. I saw you sitting in with Andy, and then also saw Lafitte in with Andy, all talking about the Fox MSG show, which is great. Again, I'll tip my cap to you because you're here, but I pass that on as well to all the people behind the scenes because I know what goes into the prep work. But talk about your prep work. Lafitte and Andy mentioned that they'll get rundowns at 1 o'clock in the morning as far as what's coming up the next day. But you also have to prep for paddock work and whatnot and be prepared for post-race interviews in the winner's circle. So what goes into preparing for a day on the air?
Well, first of all, doing my notes. I have extensive notes on many of the horses that have run here in New York. And if they haven't run in, here in New York prior, I like to watch replays and go through them and kind of and analyze them in that way and what I can maybe expect in the paddock. And then two, if it's feature races, reading anything I can as far as what's been published. You have the Saratoga Special up that, the TDN, Bloodhorse, DRF. So I like to go through and read up on all that because that lends itself well to your pre-race and post-race interviews because, let's face it, for your post-race ones, you never exactly know who you're going to get. So you have to know what to ask them and do if they have something coming up further on in the card or the next couple days, ask them about those horses as well. So it's doing your handicapping work, and for me, the physical and pedigree notes, but also knowing the behind-the-scenes stories and the human interest stories as well.
And most of us are probably familiar with your work in the paddock, where, again, you do a great job. Andy tipped his cap and said you're the gold standard, and you do a great job in the paddock. I have to say that when I make my selections and I'm going up to the betting window, I would much prefer you like my horse than not like
my horse.
Yeah,
I know, right?
and I hear that from folks on the front side as well. Part of that, though, is not just you're looking at the physicality, but it's also, as you say, you have extensive notes because some horses – there may be a horse that's kind of acting up, but if that's his MO, then you can kind of forgive it a little bit. So the notes from race to race, from paddock visit to paddock visit, make a lot of difference.
Are essential, and sometimes you'll see horses acting different in different paddocks, for instance. I mean, I think about George Weaver's Philly Point of Honor and Acacia, who's now a part of our team as well, saying how upset she was in the Gulfstream paddock. But every time I had seen her, which was at Tampa and now here, she's really calm. You know, it's wide open, it's not closed in like Gulfstream, so that kind of affected her as well. So knowing that about horses going into races, I think, is absolutely essential.
Yeah, it's, and you, as I say, you do a great job, and it kind of tips people off. Do you think it's a little more potent even maybe on the two-year-old side because a lot of those horses haven't raced yet? And so
right.
If you're giving that kind of information, it's, you know, horses who have raced, you've already got have it there on the page, whereas the two-year-olds, you don't. So any information you get, I think, is a little more essential.
And XBTV is a great resource as well for watching workouts and who they've worked with to kind of gauge where they stand. I mean, you think about that Jeremiah Englehart horse that ran the other day. What's her name? Risky Mischief?
Yes. That was it.
And she was working with my Italian rabbi, who'd already been a stakes winner, and creaming her. So you can gauge two-year-olds in that sense. Obviously, they weren't pulling one over anybody's eyes because she was like 2-5. So, but those morning workouts help a lot.
I want to get your opinion. I had Joe Clancy in at the top of the show, and I got his opinion, but I also want to talk a little bit about last weekend because two nice performances, and I said to Joe, and I've said to a bunch of people the last few days, the racing here has been great. You've had some real horses that have stepped up and validated what we wanted. We saw more of that. Let's again watch the stretch run and get your thoughts on McKenzie in the Whitney. It was just an incredible performance. I had Bob Baffert on Sunday, and he mentioned the nice move Mike Smith made on the backstretch to kind of not let Preservationist get him in. He kind of pulled out and went around Preservationist a little bit. So it was a great ride by Mike. But coming down the stretch, man, he a great horse kind of validating just the kind of horse he is.
And it was kind of similar to his ride in the Ali Sheba, where he let Tom Zantat in that day go ahead of him, and he kind of gave McKenzie that break. Yeah, he's a horse that likes to be forwardly placed, and it's just a testament of the job that Mike Smith does because he knows his horse inside out. You saw him draw a stick at the eighth pole, but knowing that he doesn't like to be hit, to be a jockey, and you know, you naturally go to your stick and you go to ride, and he pulled it, and he waved it at him once, and that was it. And the horse responded beautifully. So you would have to think he's the vision leader of the handicap horses.
Point.
Yeah.
And I want to an opinion on Kefefi because she was amazing in the test. And not to take anything against away from Serengeti Empress, who ran her eyeballs out in the ding-dong stretch battle that we had here was just incredible. But again, Kefefi, given that race two back at Pimlico, man, she is just phenomenal. And again, the stretch battle between these two, where you think Serengeti Empress may come back, but Kefefi just won't let her. It was just another great performance up here at Saratoga.
And I honestly think Serengeti Empress ran just as well as Kefefi. I have my doubts, honestly, about Kefefi stretching to the 7 furlong. She physically presents herself as more of like that out-and-out sprinter, really stocky. And you can see them, especially when they come into the stretch, how much broader she is across her chest and hindquarters than Serengeti Empress. And Serengeti Empress, it's always... always tougher for a horse down on the rail to be doing the dirty work than to be sitting and tracking on the outside. And we saw Serengeti Empress. She's a filly that's been coming out of those longer races, so she didn't break that alertly, especially having to be the one standing in there the longest. So Jose had to hustle her out of the gate. I mean, you could see him. He was, you know, hustling her with his hands and even kind of moving his legs a bit. So she did all the dirty work, and she did not want to let Kefefi by. But Kefefi's a very, very talented filly. They put on quite a show. And I got to give kudos to both her trainers, but especially my colleague Tom Amos for the job he's done with Serengeti Empress.
Yeah, this was just an amazing performance. Again, capping what's been a great first half of the meet on Friday. The winner of the Saratoga Concrete Rose, the Saratoga
Oaks.
Saratoga Derby winner. I kind of kicked myself that I didn't use a thread of blue because that one earlier in the year was really at or near the top of that three-year-old turf division.
I kind of dismissed and forgot him a bit.
What have you done for me lately?
But once again, a great enterprising ride by Louis Saez, sensing there wasn't a lot of speed. And we've seen both of those races, the Belmont Derby and the Saratoga Derby, being won by horses more towards the front end. Obviously, Concrete Rose, I mean, she didn't need to get away with what kind of trip she pulled, but they gave it to her. And I could see her face and her ears, and she's just like, really, guys? What? Do you want to come join me? Like, let's make a race of this. And they didn't. So she is certainly the division leader of that division of the three-year-old turf fillies.
And also in the three-year-olds on turf, Casa Creed. I always liked to root for Lee on Sadler, so that was nice for him and Bill Mott.
He's the greatest.
Nice performance there, too. And then last weekend, Imperial Hint, Chancelot. It's just been, the first half of the meet's been phenomenal.
I know. I mean, the performances by those two sprinters. Wouldn't you love to see a head-to-head battle between those two? I mean, because I honestly thought six-year-old Imperial Hint, his good days were behind him, and he proved me totally wrong. Great job by Louis Carvajal to have him back off that Dubai race and ready to go. He loves it here.
And we had Louis in on Sunday, and he was clearly, you know, on cloud nine, should be.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, and he noted that he had already talked about that the day before. Well, now with a record, you know, his name's in there. And given how long that record lasted, you could think the name will be in the record books for a long time. But then the next day I said, well, maybe until Chancelot shows up next year in the Vanderbilt.
Right.
We'll see if that holds. But it's been, as I say, a great couple of few weeks so far to lead into the halfway point. Let's get a couple ideas for today before we let you go. We have a couple of stakes. The jump race starts things out, but moving on, the Mahoney a little bit later on, 5.5 on the turf. I used Archer Dust. I thought that last race was very good. George Navarro, given what we saw last week from Chancelot, has shown that he can win up here at Saratoga. He's obviously very, very good down at Monmouth where this one won. But, boy, that workout jumped out at me, too, the 46 flat down at Monmouth really just a few days ago. So I put that one on top. I went 7-1, 10-5 in the Mahoney. What were your thoughts?
Look, Archer Dust is going to have to come up here and prove that he belongs. For me, it's all about Uncle Benny coming back off of that layoff, a horse that I thought ran so well in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, considering I wasn't sure if he really wanted to go that far. And he ran valiantly in behind Line of Duty. And he's getting back to 5.5 here for Jason Service, but you want a trainer coming off a layoff, why can't Jason Service bring this horse back? So Uncle Benny would be my top.
That was the question mark for me, but I always say lightly raced two-year-olds, when they take a break and come back as three-year-olds, they can come back improved. But there is a layoff here that does raise a question.
I mean, other than Archidus last race, which is his only turf start, Uncle Benny was running numbers comparable to the rest of this field as a two-year-old, and they've been doing it as three-year-olds. So he has that room for improvement.
Yeah, that's the upside potential off of the layoff, two-year-old to three-year-old. And the Shipman, always fun up here, the New York Breds. I took a little shot against Mr. Buff, and I could kick myself.
I don't blame you.
When they hit the far turn, if he's loping along there, he'll be tough to reel in. But I thought Control Group was interesting. Comes off a win up the Finger Lakes last time, but it was the second start. Looks like they got up there and got a little confidence booster in that one. So third start back at 8-1, Luis Saez, Rudy, Michael Dubin, partner. I went Control Group with Mr. Buff underneath, but what are your thoughts?
I have much love for Mr. Buff, don't get me wrong. And sometimes when he's allowed to get in that rhythm and that galloping stride that he has, especially going this mile and an eighth, he's very, very tough to beat. But I'm wondering, maybe did Joel Rosario learn a little bit about Seafoam last time, and is he going to put a little bit more pressure on Mr. Buff? I don't know. You know, sometimes these races, they look to be have pace in them, and it just doesn't pan out that way. So I respect Mr. Buff, but the job that Rob Attriss has done with Dynamax Prime is quite remarkable, and he split those two last time. I'm also a little bit intrigued by Evaluator, Jimmy Bond having a sensational meet, and he's been bringing horses off really long layoffs, and they've been running well. And a horse that I've always been very intrigued by, and if the race does set up favorably for him, I think Jimmy could possibly have him ready to fire.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. 12-1, and Jimmy Bond is having a very, very good meet. Get to see all his horses. I had to wait for three sets of them to get into the parking lot this morning, but I always like to root for him. He's following in the cart, usually zipping across the street. Maggie, appreciate the visit this morning. Enjoy your work. Again, really enjoy the stuff that Fox MSG is being done for Naira, because, as I say, it's not just promoting the work that Naira does here and the racing at Saratoga, Belmont, and Aqueduct, but I think it evangelizes for racing across the spectrum. And David O'Rourke, I mentioned I was at the Albany Law yesterday, and David O'Rourke was on one of the panels and talked about getting that mainstream television coverage as being important to pulling in viewers. And I think the shows that, you know, 3 hours an afternoon on a mainstream sports network, a couple of them, I think helps draw in new fans, and you guys do a great job.
And the Travers is going to be on regular Fox this year, so we're pleased to have that. And I mean, not only do we show Saratoga racing, but you know, this coming weekend we're going to be showing races from Arlington Million Day out in Chicago. So
does Tom have a horse going out last year?
No, not this year. That was exciting.
Carrick last year. Yeah.
It was so funny. I was walking to the track the other day. Some guy was talking, I don't know if he was talking about Chad or Analyze It, and he's like, yeah, that horse even got beat by a 70-1 shot in the Secretariat last year. I was like, that was our horse.
And did you say Tom was here for that, right?
Yes,
watching on TV.
It was the New York Bred Sale Thursday here.
Speaking of the sale, as I say, I saw your little girl running around last night. You and Tom were there as well. What were your impressions of the sale? I thought last night with the three over seven figures, I thought the sale had some fireworks last night.
Yeah, I mean, considering the way the markets looked, you know, a couple days ago, it was pretty good. Curlin's really sold strongly.
Yeah, I said too, the Into Mischiefs, sire I really like up here at Saratoga with the two-year-olds, and it has been doing phenomenally so far this year, not just here but everywhere, but did well also. Maggie, again, appreciate the visit. Continued good luck on the meet television-wise and your paddock commentary and whatnot, and we'll talk again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America on a Wednesday morning. Don't forget, back in here tomorrow morning at 9 with the Handicapper Support, 10 o'clock with more Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit LeahCars.com. Leah Cars for Live, Woodbine Racetrack, pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border, and the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.